Nobody knows how to win. Nobody.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with VJ Stanley. VJ, what's up, man? How are you today?
It's a great day. It's 70 out. I walked the dog. I had a couple of podcasts. Got another one coming after you. It's all good.
Yeah, springtime in Rochester, but it sounds like you're a celebrity now, right? You've got a couple podcasts. You're making the rounds, man.
Celebrity. We're just trying to chip away. Like I say, as the problems blossom, we're down by the bottom of the tree, whacking away at the roots, and we're going to then at some point, hopefully, sit back, stand back, and watch the tree fall.
Absolutely. I've got a lot to learn from you. I know this is going to be a tremendous conversation. Anyone who's listening, it doesn't matter if you're an athlete or not. The things taught in athletics can be ultimately implemented in your business, your relationships, your personal life. And VJ, you were the coach of U of R hockey for over 20 years, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it started out, I was at a diner and got into youth. Well, I got hurt at Clarkson. I played one game, had two concussions. They were my seventh and eighth. That ended my career. So I was at a diner and a guy asked me if I'd be interested in helping out his team, and he did. And then they got me to another team. And then I became the youngest high school coach in the history of high school hockey in Rochester. And then was helping out with a travel team. And a gentleman came up and said, how would you like to coach college hockey? And I said, absolutely. And a guy by the name of Richard Gamble. And so I met with the athletic director. And I was the only one on the staff at the U of R that didn't have even a college degree. So the AD brought me in, great guy, John Reeves, and said, we have a problem. So I ended up going to Nazareth, where I met my wife 33 years later. And then finished that, got my master's at the U of R, retired in 2005, became a professional stand-up comic, and wrote three books on youth sports. And now I mentor coaches, I mentor athletes, and we do some with business too, because it was also a part of our family business. So we were a wholesale industrial supply house.
Congrats. You're a man of many skills. And these
days,
it's
been a great journey.
You're the owner of Balanced Excellence. And I want to ultimately get into actionable tips, because from what I've heard speaking to you in a podcast you've been on, you're all about actionable tips that we can implement everywhere in our life. But let's start with what the heck is Balanced Excellence and, you know, the kind of services you guys provide.
Well, we do coaching, we do mentoring, life coaching. We work with sports coaches, athletes, families. What it is it actually started out, Ben, as frozen shorts. My daughter was playing soccer, and a lady came down at the end of the field and said, I hear you're writing a book. And I said, yes, I am. The Stop the Tsunami and Youth Sports book. And she said, well, my daughter plays lacrosse and along with soccer. And she said, wow. I said, wow, that's great. And so she said, but I got to tell you a story. Last week we were in Syracuse and we played the whole tournament in the snow and the rain, and she didn't get to play the entire tournament. So it bothered me, and I was up late, and my wonderful wife at that point was an elementary kindergarten teacher, my favorites. They love more than technique when you're with these little kids. She has it down pat. But I do have a tip for all the men out there right now, as you said, actionable tips. If at 1 o'clock in the morning, you think you've come up with your business name and it's a revelation to you, and your wife is an elementary ed school teacher who has to get up at 5:30 to go to work, when you tap her on the shoulder, make sure you don't expose your ribs, because that flying elbow will come in and blast you as you hear the sigh coming. So that started Frozen Shorts, where all the kids who sit on the bench needlessly freezing their butts off Then it morphed into balanced excellence, where we go to businesses, people that are struggling in their pursuit. We just finished working with a gentleman that was 60 years old and really wanted to find a different path. And what we tell people, it's about internal realization, not external force. I'm more the guide than a teacher. So again, another actionable, this one not funny, a true actionable tip is you need to find where you have balance in life. And this applies to everything. So like balance is so important. They have it in the Olympics, the balance beam. And no one ever lost their specialization, right? They lose their balance. So if you get this inner peace, if you can get this balance, and we call it shock absorber coaching, if you can get this correct and get it to a certain point, then whatever you're doing will then transpose into you, and you don't transpose into that. In other words, you don't try and make yourself become something you're not.
Mm. I'm wondering, because what came to mind is, what if I don't have balance in my life? And I'm like, what's going on? I'm up too late working. I wake up early. I feel tired. I feel like I'm being inefficient. And you're saying you got to see where you have balance in your life. A lot of the listeners might be thinking, I don't even know if I have balance in my life. Can we talk about how to even figure that out in the first place?
Outstanding question. But that's exactly what Ben just said to you, is exactly what we tell our clients. We're not going to tell you you have balance. We're not going to tell you that this is what you are or who you are. You're going to come and tell me, no, I don't have balance in my life. I don't have this. And then we can proceed from a base where you know, okay, this is why I'm up late. This is why I'm not sleeping well. This is why I'm getting up early. This is why I'm tense. And so then we give simple exercises. One of the first ones we do, Ben, and it's as simple as you can get. Again, you have to be healthy, but we tell people, you get up, you get on the carpet, and you grab your fists and your arms, and you get them as tight as you can, 5 seconds. And then you grab your shoulders, tight as you can, 5 seconds. Same thing with your legs. And then you take a huge deep breath, and then you think of a peaceful spot. Because our bodies are moving all the time. And so what has happened, we've become sedentary. And this sedentary then starts to eat away at us in terms of our ability to cope, because we're not moving. So this thing starts to hurt, or that starts to hurt. And then we progress to the mental, and there's no balance between the physical and the mental.
You know what? What's coming to mind is, I'm thinking of frozen shorts. You're sitting on the side. You've got the frozen shorts. There's something to be said about being cold, something about said to be being, you know, stressed or tension or friction. I'm sitting here with a cushion under my butt, looking at a screen all day in the courtesy of my home in an air-conditioned household. My body, I don't think, was conditioned to be in this sedentary place, sitting here looking at the screen. Ultimately, in an air-conditioned household, it's meant to be outside. It's meant to be cold. It's meant to be stressed. It's meant to be running, stopping, lifting, all these things that we do in athletics. But it's interesting, because we've been doing this for thousands of years, spending time outside, building homes, you know, farming. But nowadays, it's almost like athletics is not just something that we do on a daily basis for a lot of people. It's a hobby, or it's something you watch for entertainment. You tell me, isn't athletics just something we should be doing always in our life, no matter what it is? You know,
we try and stay away from the word athletics. We use the word movement. Mm-hmm. We want you to get out and move. Another thing we tell people is another tip that we give. What you need to do is just go for a 5-minute walk. Just a 5-minute walk, and think of the happiest thing that you can think of. And again, you can test your own, another tip, you can test your own self by taking 5 really slow breaths, deep through your nose and out, through your nose and out. And then wait till you get into a tense situation and listen to your breathing and see how short the breaths are. So what we say is, we're trying to, as the stress hits us, we're trying to solve the whole thing. And we're saying, no. Go back to baby steps. One thing. Start with your breathing. Start with movement. And then what we do is, a guy just did was a guest at a podcast in England Monday. And I explained to the people, you know what you want to do? You want to get together in a group and do Simon Says. So you have a leader. I don't care how old you are. You have a leader. You have somebody else. And you make these movements. And now everybody starts to move. Because if we're going to punish somebody, then the worst punishment we could do, obviously, is capital punishment. But the second one is solitary confinement. So again, this isolation that we're having, what you're saying, sitting on your cushion, looking at the computer, we've actually entered into isolation. That in itself is going to bother you. They're just doing an experiment now with 12 people. They're going to be in a cave with no lights. They're going to generate their own electricity for 45 days to see what that does to people. And the experiment's just going on. And my thing is, I tell people over and over again, that smile, that thank you, that appreciation, we are so consumed with getting it right. And we're saying, wait a minute, let's just be thankful and appreciative first. Okay, let's get the manners back in there. So as you start to get those manners, as those things start to come to you, you're going to feel better.
I love it. I'm going to tell you personally, Vijay, I like to think deep into things. I'm a hippie, gypsy, that kind of guy. I love these conversations, but a lot of people, and I want to talk athletes and business, but we'll start with athletes. A lot of people, they're more concerned. I'm benching 200. I want to get to 250 and the guy across from me is stronger than me. Why the hell should I be listening to this shit? You're talking about, what does this mean? How does this apply to an athlete who's part of a team that wants to be successful? Maybe they're already incredible, but they might not even know that they have a few more steps ahead of them. They can level up, but they're wondering, this doesn't seem to make sense to me. How does this lead into athletics?
So what we get, again, I've been coaching for 40 years and multiple sports this is very controversial for people, but I just want them to, before they react to what I'm about to say, I want them to let me finish. Nobody knows how to win. Nobody. Okay. The Bills, my wonderful Bills, made it to Super Bowl 4 times in a row and lost. Would they forget how to win? The great John Calipari, the college football coach, did he forget, or the basketball coach, did he forget when he got to Kentucky that one year where he didn't make the NCAA finals? At the tournament, Scotty Bowman at the Buffalo Sabres, Hall of Fame coach, won Stanley Cups in three different cities, but not in Buffalo. Did he forget how to win? So what we've done is we've taken the goal and make the goal important. As I told the people Monday, one of the things that amuses me most is I hear coaches say, we got to win this game. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you do not have to. That's not true. And when you don't, then you lose the trust of your players. So with the athletes, what we say is, one, got to enjoy the journey. You can reach for the stars, and nobody wants to win as much as I do, but you can't will that. You've got to stay in the moment, and you've got to then get the fundamentals right. And so what we say to these is, don't worry about the other guy. Don't worry about the other girl. Get to the best that you can be. And it doesn't have to be every day. You have to allow yourself a bad day. You have to allow yourself to be a human being. So with the athletes, what we say is, okay, so just we're going to use baseball. So you're playing baseball. Well, you could actually take a rest and go play volleyball or go play soccer. There are movements in both of those sports that are going to help you be a better baseball player. So in actuality, instead of doing something year round, you can take time off and get better at your chosen sport by doing another sport. I know that's a lot for you, but for everybody, but that's how balanced excellence works. We really get back to the balance.
And the beginner's mindset question is, if I'm not attached to winning, maybe that's why I'm the Bills and I'm losing four straight times. I mean, at what point are you creating a negative prophecy where you're losing because you're giving yourself too much permission to lose? Could you see that becoming an issue? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yes, but you take what you're saying and flip it. What actually happens is you've got that far winning and you can't believe you're not winning. So you put more pressure on yourself to win. Mm. So what you do then is go, oh my gosh, we're here again. We've got to do better than last time. Well, no, you don't. It's a different team. It's a different time. It's a different setting. It's a different year. And so again, what we say at Balanced Excellence is we're trying to get to understand balance. And if you get that balance is going to help you get to the excellence. So sometimes the very striving for excellence costs you excellence. And what I told the people Monday, and I've got another one at 3 today, is that as you progress and you say, again, baseball, you can hit that ball harder and harder and harder. Not only is there a law of diminishing returns, but at the end, Ben, what happens is that strength becomes part of your weakness. In other words, your strengths and weaknesses start to separate to such an extent that strength now you become dependent on. And when you become dependent on it, then you lose sight of your weakness. And so when the weakness shows up, you can't handle it.
Wow.
I'm sorry, is that too much?
No, I think it's perfect. I was going to ask you, because you are a Bills fan, what your thoughts on Tom Brady is, specifically because of his ability to crush it. For how long has it been? How many championships has he won?
Well, I say this when we have my Bills fans, and I hope Josh Allen wins the Super Bowl and does great. But what people have to understand about Brady is he gave money back. He knew he couldn't do it alone. He surrounded himself with excellence, but he balanced it out because he took less money so they could buy better defenders, get better receiver, do all these other things. So he understood that. Then he modeled that behavior. And then with his eating habits and the things that he did, then he became successful. But I want to say this to everybody. His wife publicly put out, and Brady admitted to it, that 2 seasons ago, she laid the law down to him and said, hey, you got to stop hanging around the boys and you got to start doing dad stuff around the house, taking the kids to school, doing this and doing that. And by the way, after he did that, he won another Super Bowl.
Wow. It seems like taking feedback from each other and having it be a team effort. He could have been like, I'm Tom Brady. Woman, I'm going to do what I want. No, he's like, she is right. I am neglecting my family and it's probably actually making me weaker in my profession.
There we go. Ben got it. There it is. We're
now let's move into
this and Ben's got it. That's exactly what we talk about at Balanced Excellence.
Now, exactly. Spot on, Ben. Let's move into the business realm because it's easy to see that an athlete's being successful because they're fast, strong, they're skilled, they're winners, and they're part of a good team. That's very tangible. The business realm, sure, there's the size of your team or the amount of revenue you do, but a lot of people might not understand how to implement this into their business. A lot of my listeners, they're entrepreneurs, they're intrapreneurs, they're salespeople, they're business owners. How can we take the methods, the tips from Balanced Excellence and, you know, implement them into our business as early as today?
Great question. Okay. You want the tips that are immediately applicable and usable.
And let me tell you the reason I love immediate, applicable and usable, because I want to be able to go and use this. And I want every listener to go and use this now. And when they see it works, they can obviously reach out and dive deeper for more. So I cut you off. Go on with number one.
The first and most important thing for every manager and business owner to know, and I would tell this to my brother and father at our company, we now in the 2000s work for our employees. They don't work for us. If you can wrap that into your brain, into your psyche, and you can understand that it's our company. And I always love, yeah, but I'm the one taking all the risks. All right, let's just calm down. It was your choice. These people didn't come to you and say, do this. Okay. But if you can understand that we work for them, that's number one. Number two, the second most important thing is if they don't care, if you have an employee that is a problem, it's going to cost you six times as much money to replace them and get a new one as it is to get them on board. So number three, we tell the owners and then we tell the salesman. What if you tell them, I need to hear what you want? What is it that you want from your work at our company? What is it that you want? Because too many times, you know, I love, even in our dad's business, we would hire someone and we'd give them, and you have a list of job responsibilities. You have to have that. But I would tell them, look, what I want to know is, what do you want? What can we do? Because the same way when I recruited at the U of R, I would turn down certain players. They didn't fit my program. So I want to know what they want. What is it that you want? And of course, a lot of times they'll say things that you want to hear. But what you then ask them, which is the critical question, is, do you want to be successful in this environment? And if they say yes, what can we do? Again, we work for them. What can we do to help you? Changes the whole mindset. So now, again, what I said to you in the beginning, we're thankful, we're appreciative.
Yeah, you get them
changes
on.
The whole, it changes the whole. Like, I had people that bought from me in our company. We sold water heaters, boilers, pumps, all these things. I did $2.6 million in our $10 million in sales, which is roughly in a 250 work day, $10,000 a week. It doesn't make me, or I mean, $10,000 a day. Didn't do my math. Whatever it is.
Big numbers, and yes, it wasn't easy, but you made it work. Go on. But
what I did is, even people that didn't like me trusted me. So this is number four. Forget about the respect for a while, okay? Because everybody's got respect up here at the top. Let's balance it. So now what we want is, we want to earn our employees' trust. We want to earn that. Now, this trust, Ben and I talked before the show, we're both anti-political. I don't trust the president of the United States because I don't know. Doesn't matter who it is, who's in office. But whoever is in office, I have the utmost respect for the office of the presidency because it's the toughest job in the world. So what we're telling people now, the owners of the business and even salesmen, is a reciprocal truth is what you're looking for. In other words, I'm my father's son, I'm my brother's brother. No matter how you do that, it's always correct. Wherever there's electricity, wherever there's lightning, there's electricity. But wherever there's electricity, there isn't necessarily lightning, a non-reciprocal truth. When you drive home tonight from work, you trust that the other person isn't going to hit you. You don't care if they're driving a Mercedes, you don't care if a Cadillac. So we've lost, again, that balance where you're just respecting me. You got to respect. I got to have these numbers. Well, what if the numbers aren't important to them? Are you saying then we're going to keep firing at people until we find someone? Or can we adjust the journey? And the journey will allow us to make money. And then making that money will then get us to our goals.
I love it. I want to give you an analogy just because it popped in my head. It's a little bit of a digression, but it's about leadership. It's about trust. It's about, at the end of the day, you know, if they trust you, they don't need to like you. They need to trust that ultimately you have their best interest in mind. And the analogy I love, and it doesn't matter if it's Donald Trump, doesn't matter if it's Joe Biden, they both do the same thing. They, let's just, for example, there's something weird going on under their pants. They think they might have cancer, as something weird's going on. They're concerned. So they show up to the doctor, and the first thing the doctor says is, Mr. President, drop your pants. What does the president do? They drop their freaking pants because they trust that this doctor can figure out what's going on, assess the concern, and help them. They don't need to like the doctor. They don't need to, it's a non-political thing. It doesn't matter the skin tone of the doctor, anything other than the trust that this doctor is going to properly assess this concern and make sure they leave with the confidence that we can address it and get better. And this is a tangent, but I love the analogy. It came to mind. Any thoughts on it? I don't even have a follow-up question for that one, brother.
Well, you're on the right path.
Okay.
But there's a lot of respect going on there. with between the doctor and the president of the United States. Like the analogy, but what we would say is, do you trust him to know what he's doing? Does the doctor trust you to trust him that he knows what he's doing? Does the doctor trust that you will follow these things, or does he have to follow up on you? And then there's a knowledge component there. So that's more off of what we say is, now we're at a high level here. We want to bring it down to an everyday level. We want to do it as you come into work. We tell always, say good morning, say hello, call people by name, by their first name. Always do these little things. And then when you get to the president and to the doctor, then you have another situation that is based on, like, there's a problem here. And what we call it a balanced excellence, we want preventive maintenance. We want to really get the problem down to a manageable level before it happens, because the storm is going to come. And what we want, we call it shock absorber coaching for our coaches, is that we want to be able to have you, when the doctor gives the president the bad news, be able to internalize it and figure out how to fix it with the doctor.
I like that. I see a lot of little small pieces that you do every day, saying good morning, being there for people, showing gratitude, helping people every day. The president walks in, you're not like, oh my God, this is the biggest consultation of my life. You're like, it's exactly what I did yesterday. It's exactly what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to give them the exact same service because I'm a winner at my profession. I'm wondering, where the hell do you learn this kind of stuff? Did you just write the book on it, BJ, or do you have mentors or coaches or people that you look? You didn't learn this overnight, I can't imagine.
Well, I've been doing it since I'm about 21 years old. I next door to us, when I was growing up, we had he was head of the family counseling, probably the smartest man I've ever met in my life, Dr. Tom Thornton. I actually did family counseling. It started from scratch at the U of R, and we would talk till 3-4 o'clock in the morning on multiple times. He's 40, I'm 18, because I had all these questions, and I've always just thought that if everybody's going straight down this path, then I got to go right or left. I don't know, but everybody's going down there. I just don't think that's the right thing to do. So it evolved. Like, again, I'm this young coach, and I take over this team, and I just told the players, here's what we want to do. Here's how we want to do it. It wants to be fundamentals in business. I mean, I would just, with my customers, if I make a mistake, I'm going to tell you. If this is wrong, I'm going to tell you. And I've just had this questioning, analytical brain forever. I mean, since I can remember. And people seem to know, again, that they can trust me, and I make sure that I put whatever they're doing at the top of the thing. And I guess it's a rambling long answer, but yeah, I've been this way since I can remember.
Well, I'm happy you are, because you've got a lot to teach people. A lot of people need mentorship. They need coaching.
We want to give. We want to give back. I've had a great run. I got a great wife. I got two great kids. I live on the shore of Lake Ontario.
Am I going to get a view of the shore?
Butter.
Love it.
So, and again,
I'm jealous. You're going to have to invite me over for a beer, because that looks like a beautiful place to sit down and relax.
And I try to tell people over and over again is that I want to know I want to know what I don't know. But with you, with my clients, I want to know about you. I have a real interest in you. Then we'll get to your problem. Okay? We get to that, what we understand, that it's all about the journey. And in that journey, we want highs and lows, because they're going to come. But in that journey, we want to be able to share what we know. And then what we do at Balanced Excellence is, as you go through this journey, like a lot of life coaches, and I'm not criticizing anybody, whatever works for you. They meet with their people every day. Well, we're just the opposite. In our life coaching business, we want you to not need us. As I tell everybody, I think I might be the only businessman in the country that has planned obsolescence as part of his business structure. But we want you then to own your own journey so that when I teach you, you can teach the next guy. So BJ Stanley doesn't exist a 100 years from now. Who cares? But balanced excellence, if that does, now we've made a true difference. And that's what's important. And then that balanced excellence, how you interpret it, how you internalize it, how you share it is really what's important.
I love it. I forget where I've learned this before, but what I've heard is there's nothing more humbling or fulfilling than helping someone and training them to the point that they're actually better than you. And then the question is, are you going to be resentful, jealous? No, you created something that's literally they're better than you, and they can transcend that onto somebody else. I think it was Kobe Bryant that was saying it. He hates the greatest of all time conversation. He thought it was stupid. It was, don't ask Kobe if he's the GOAT. First off, it's a dumb, shallow question. Second, what he says is, okay, there would be no Magic Johnson without the people before him. And there would be no Michael Jordan without Magic Johnson. And guess what? There would be no Kobe Bryant without Michael Jordan. And guess what? There would be no LeBron James without all those people before him. So to ask me, Kobe Bryant, or anyone, are you the best? Are you the greatest of all time? No, and I hope not. It's all setting the stage. VJ setting a stage for 100 years. It would be great if people knew who you are. It's great if U of R recognizes you. It's very humbling. But I think what's even better, what I hear you saying is what's even better is your message and your training and mentorship creating a ripple where people are better than you and the world, your empire is better than you for it. So I love what you're doing, man. I want to know, because you told me offline, when we first talked, you do a lot of public speaking. It's sometimes controversial. And I'm just wondering what's controversial about it. If you want to walk me through one of your speeches or ultimately something that I want to shock people, but I also want to wow them and I want them to learn something. So
again, the first one, nobody knows how to win, is very troublesome. But the second one is, you don't have to be in front to lead. You don't have to be in front to lead. Three, you as a human being have to understand that you don't have to be perfect. Everybody now is so tense because we live, and this is the controversial part, we live in fear right now. We live in fear of our payment. We live in fear of whatever kind of violence is out there. We live in fear that we don't have enough money. We live in fear that people aren't going to like us. Well, it's an old cliche, but you got to like yourself first. But if you want to lead, you have to model that behavior. And again, it's back to being thankful and being appreciative. And the biggest controversial one, if that's not enough, is listen. Yeah. The dirt nap is forever. Calm down.
Say that again.
The dirt nap is forever.
What's that mean?
Death. Calm down. Look around. Enjoy. And you can enjoy by being thankful and appreciative. It's manners are absolutely critical in life to feel good. And then another controversial one, I have no interest in being happy. Not interested. Because for every positive, let's just say happiness, you go to a wedding, right? Everybody's cheerful at the wedding and the reception. We do all this stuff. And then we're not cheerful anymore. And then it goes down. Now, somebody gets killed and you're mad at somebody else for years. So the balance, again, of happiness and anger, because love and hate are the same emotion. One's just positive and the other's negative, is that you then want to transverse that to the fact where, wait a minute, maybe it's about balance and peace of mind. And that's what we
I love it. I love it. I'm going to say this at the end, but let's shout it out right now. How do people get in touch with you? Like,
VJ@balancedexcellence.com. My email, my office number is 585-743-1020. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can be part of our newsletter. We want to help. We are trying to help. And in that circle, we want you to think of things that make you uncomfortable in a safe environment.
Mm, I like that. Think of things that make you uncomfortable in a safe environment. Isn't that how we learn at the end of the day? We need to, you know, in athletics, we want to do the extra rep. We want to do what's difficult in life. We need to have those tough conversations with our loved ones, with our family, with our coworkers at work. Sometimes we need to ultimately let someone go at work. Sometimes we get let go. This shit's uncomfortable. It's almost, for me, I'd rather have experienced that in a safe environment than been in over my head and then been in a unsafe work environment and didn't know what to do. So that's great. Do people come to you for group coaching? Is it one-on-one? Is it like team training? Or
we don't do a lot of team training because I'm not a first of all, there's a ton of people you can go to. You don't need me. There's people that really, I'm way more interested in getting the leaders to understand true leadership. In other words, I want the leaders to be able to model, see the benefit, the long-term, versus, because every short-term thing is more expensive than long-term. Everything you buy cheap ends up being more expensive most of the time than anything that you buy of quality and value.
Right.
So we're trying to get the leaders, and this, we people that don't think we're leaders, we work with. But yeah, back to your team question. The team thing, there's so many dynamics going on that we would rather, again, we call it the baby step approach. We would rather get to the one person and then have them be able to do things with the team. Because in the end, again, what we said, you've heard how many two-year-olds say this, whether they're yours, nieces, nephews are growing up, I can do it myself.
Mm.
Well, so that's what we want to teach. We want them to own their own journey. So what we do is we do the group, but the team thing, you know, they do the rah-rah Tony Robbins. That's me. I never had a rah-rah conversation with my employees or with my hockey players ever, because I thought it used up too much energy that couldn't be transferred into results. And I'm not saying it's wrong. It's if it works for you, go for it. But what we're trying to do is take that deep breath and tell you that when you relax, you can still perform at a higher level and your highest level as much, if not better, as if you have the rah-rah approach. And another thing for the instant stuff is we tell people, get back into your apartment, your house, and your home at the end of the day, put your headphones on, and close the curtains and dance to three of your favorite songs. Music has energy.
Mm-hmm. And so Tony Robbins, he's obviously a prophet in the personal development industry. His tactics are great, but yeah, the concept of just showing up to a Tony Robbins seminar, fist bumping like you're at a rock and roll concert, that is the dancing, that's the enjoyment, that's the headphones on alone. But the second step is, how do we take that energy and actually implement it? And it seems like your strategies are tailored around, okay, if someone's unmotivated, this, I don't know, if I'm non-motivated, are you a bad fit? Like, do you bring people to motivation? You're looking for people that already want to win, and then you take them to the next level, it sounds like.
Yes and no. I'll give you a perfect example. I'm doing a presentation down in Bethpage, New York, for USA Hockey.
Yeah.
And I try to tell people it's about inclusion. And so I made how that if a guy isn't playing well, you're only as good as your last shift. And so there was a guy over in another row and you could tell he wasn't thrilled. So I put the three lines together and then I said, you didn't playing well. And I explained to him what he was doing. And then I asked him, I said, do you want to play? And he said, I'm just happy to be on the team. So then I explained to him about getting him energized without talking to him by showing him that there was an opportunity for him to do something. Because you got to remember, by nature, we're competitive. Again, back to the children's story. If you have an older child and a younger child, I guarantee you the older child's taking something away from the younger child. Because I was the youngest, I guarantee you that young child wanted revenge. So we got this guy who didn't care if he played to yell out in front of 250 people, I'm ready to play. So we actually like the guy or girl who is non-motivated because that's a huge rush for us when we do it. But the guy you're talking about, the guy who's really motivated or the woman that's really motivated, we actually want to calm them down and show them that they're good and that the organic growth of their greatness doesn't have to be forced. And then you bring people along with.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be forced. I love it. Listen, I'm going to have you back, but for sake of time, I want to move into the rapid fire round. Simple, short questions, get to know Vijay a little bit better. Let's start off with athletics in general. Do you have favorite teams? Who are your favorite athletic teams?
Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Sabres, but I'm not really sure the Sabres are in the NHL right now. secondary, I really like the Alabama basketball coach. He was the University of Buffalo coach. So he has transformed the Alabama program by reinstituting some of the things that we talk about in terms of going against the grain, but getting organic growth.
I love it. Do you have any favorite specific players that you look up to?
Not that I look up to. What I do, my daughter's a certified athletic trainer at Nazareth College. I keep asking if they're good people. Is this person a good character? Is that girl a good character? So it's always been to me like Sidney Crosby, Wayne Gretzky, Dwayne Wade, the guys that are really, really Don Mattingly for the Yankees. The guys that really exude class are the guys that I, and women that I like. Mia Hamm, the people that understand that the humility, you know, what is the thing where people say where you're really tough and rough, swag.
Okay.
I don't believe in swag.
Okay.
I don't believe in swag.
Well, it can be a facade. It can be a facade. Yeah. It can be a fake. I mean, you can have a lot of swagger. You can look nice. You can talk a great game. You can be a good salesperson. You can be a great athlete. If you're not showing up and doing a good job every single day, you could be a weak point in the team, is what I'm thinking.
I'm a huge guy on humility, honor, and integrity.
I love it. Are you a morning person? Are you a night owl like me?
Both. I sleep, sorry, people, I only sleep like 4 or 5 hours a night.
Can you function on 4 or 5 hours? Are you just used to it? How long you been sleeping for 4 or 5 hours? That, for me, I need almost double that. I probably need about 6 to 8, but.
Probably for 40 years.
Wow.
I'm just different.
They say some people are wired that way. Some people need, the standard that you need 7 to 9 hours, you need 8 hours. Everybody's different. Some people should be sleeping more. Some people might even should be sleeping less. It sounds like you're wired to just get up and get at it, man. I'm impressed.
I am though. Now at this point in my life, I do take a nap once or twice a week. I got to be up front.
You're running out of steam. You're running out of steam. What's up?
For an hour, I got to take a nap. And it's hilarious because my wonderful wife just got a Havanese puppy and the puppy will just all of a sudden collapse. He'll be going 90 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, or her name, Bailey. And I, the other day I told her, I said, you know, I was just thinking of Bailey and I was working and everything was going. And I said, you know what? I need to nap. And I just laid down and napped.
Hey, I love it. Is there anything? So again, this is a whole nother podcast. I have a few people I want to connect you with because I think you're a wealth of information. You can help them. I ultimately want everybody to connect with you. But since you're a wealth of information, I want to open it up to one more question.
Sure.
Whether it's a free tip or something that I should have asked you, I don't know you well enough to ask the perfect question. Is there anything that I should have or would have asked you if I had known you a little bit better?
Not asked. You don't need to put the onus on you. But the thing that I think is really important for people to know is our slogan is peace of mind is victory. The happiness of peace of mind is victory. And what we do so that you know that you're thinking that way is you hold up the peace sign and then you hold up the victory sign and then you cross them. And this is our handshake. We don't fist bump. We do this. And that sends calmness and sets a base. So when you meet somebody and you're getting the Balanced Excellence program and you do this, there's already a calmness. And then peace of mind is victory.
Peace of mind is victory. Tell us again, how do we reach out? How do we be in touch?
BJ@balancedexcellence.com or the charity division is Frozen Shorts, BJ@frozenshorts.com. Office 585-743-1020. I've written 3 books, Stop the Tsunami in Youth Sports, Achieving Balanced Excellence in Health While Embracing the Value of Play for Fun, Less is More, The Truth About Youth in High School Sports. And then I wrote one specifically for parents and grandparents. It's a 60-page ebook, and it's called Does Your Mind Mind What You're Doing to Your Body? Kids today are no different than they were 40 years ago. But the outside noise is much different. And for Ben today, what we're going to do is this 60-page ebook is going to be given to Ben at the end of this show or within an hour. Got another meeting. But he'll get it today. Let me rephrase. I don't like to ever miss.
Well, listen, this isn't going
to... You'll get a free one and you can give it to all your viewers for free.
This isn't going to come out the moment we're done talking. I'm going to guarantee that people are educated that they can get this for free no matter when you're listening to the show.
So Ben will have this by the end. This I can guarantee. Ben will have the 60-page ebook by the end of the day, and all you listening can have it for free. We have grandparents. We've talked to Rotary, Kiwanis, schools, colleges, youth organizations. We really think there's a need to educate people about what technology and the speed of life has done for our ability to appreciate the journey and feel good about it.
Well, thank you, VJ. You should be charging for it. If it's 2 years
from
now,
you guys get it for free.
If you're listening,
you want to help people. I want to help.
2 years from now, 2 years from now, man, 2 years from now, I'm going to charge the listeners. So if they're listening right now in 2021, it's free. If it's 2022 or 2023, the book just went up to $2,000. So get it now. Well, brother, thanks again. Yeah, it's been fun.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.